Hartford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Jim, it's Shirley at the cleaners. You know that brown jacket? The one I said looks so great on you? Your favorite? We lost it.
Welcome to the Gary Sharp Show here on 1620 The Zone. I am joined now by Tom Chattel from the Omaha World Herald. Tom, how are you today?
I'm good. What's going on?
Not too much. So I think this is the first time I've talked to you, at least in a professional setting. And so I've always wondered this question about you. What's your favorite part of the job? Because you kind of get to do a lot of different things since you're not like a beat writer or anything like that. What's your favorite thing to do?
Well, thank you. I don't know what to say about that. I think everything is. There are some parts I don't like, obviously, but I don't like traveling anymore, so I'm not traveling anymore. But, it's interesting you say that. I consider myself, I used to be a beat writer at the Kansas City Star covering the Big Eight, and I always consider myself sort of a beat columnist. I love going to games and practices. I don't get to do it nearly enough. I myself as sort of a taxi driver for my daughters, so I hang out with that. But I love being around people. I love talking to Alvin Mitchell Sr. last week. I just love the story. I can listen to those kind of sports stories all night. And, I think sometimes the job we do is, It's we were so intense with the winning and losing, and a lot of people are into the X's and O's part of it. I get it. That's great. I like storytelling. I can listen to the old stories. Like I said, and I like to find out kind of who are these people that we're watching down on the court. We don't get enough time one on one to listen to their stories a lot of times. So. I guess that would be the part I like.
You know, that's a good answer. That's the part I like the most too, is just finding out, the stories of people that we're watching and performing on the courts and fields, and just kind of finding out who they are as people. You wrote a column about, speaking of some of these stories, about Joe Burrow and how he's likely going to win the Heisman Trophy, and how kind of his connection back to the state of Nebraska, which I know has been talked about a lot. What, in your opinion, is the most interesting part of his story? Because obviously he's had a lot of ups and downs in his journey, whether it's being lightly recruited out of high school or, at least in his mind, being spurned by the university he wanted to go to in Nebraska, to having to transfer out of Ohio State in order to get a starting job. What's the most interesting part about Joe Burrow to you?
Well, there's a lot of parts. I was really intrigued when I talked with his dad, Jimmy, who I've known a long time from his time in Nebraska under Solich. I didn't realize he was this little kid going to the Rose Bowl when they got blown up by Miami. he learned how to ride a bike in Memorial Stadium, wanted to be a Husker. And so, I'd love to go back and ask Bo Pelini and Tim Beck, what happened? Why didn't you guys offer this guy? Why didn't you go after him? Because Bo Pelini and Jimmy Burrow knew each other from the 1 year that the Bo was on Frank's staff.
Sure.
So they're on defense together.
yeah.
What happened? I mean, and then, by that time, I'm sure Joe felt spurned. And because Mike Riley, I did go after him. And so he had a chance to go to Nebraska. He could have decommitted to Ohio State and gone to Nebraska, but he didn't. So, I mean, that's fine. To me, a lot of this is just water under the bridge, but he brought it up. So I feel like a lot of Nebraska fans are asking about this. But I guess to me, the more interesting thing is leaving Ohio State. He took a gamble. And his dad said it was kind of a calculated gamble that they – just had a hunch that they were going to go with Urban Meyer was going to go with Haskins. And so they took a gamble, and they weren't necessarily going to end up at LSU. Could have been anywhere. one of the choices was North Carolina. Another one was Cincinnati. So could have ended up there. So that's a good gamble. And did the grad transfer thing. But it didn't really work out until this year. I mean, he wasn't as good as Adrian Martinez last year. He didn't have him, he was good, but he wasn't great. He didn't become this guy until this year when they brought in Joe Brady from the Saints. And those two clicked. The offense all worked. Oh, by the way, he's got three NFL receivers. I don't see any
that helps.
Guys in Lincoln.
Yeah, that helps.
I don't see an NFL tight end. I don't see that guy in Lincoln. Offensive line, great defense. All the things that quarterback needs. And so that was. Yeah, people say, well, what if he'd been in Nebraska? Well, he might have been on his back a few times. He's going to get sacked.
Sure.
So, I mean, he's not going to win the Heisman there. So, that's why I wrote sometimes, I wasn't planning to be in Omaha for 28 years. I had another dream, but sometimes you find something better along the way. And I think he did.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a situation that worked out best for him, even if it's not what he originally wanted. There is another loose Nebraska tie to this year's Heisman Trophy finalists, and that's that Chase Young is the first defensive lineman since Ndamukong Suh to become a Heisman finalist. In your opinion, if Suh wasn't able to kind of break through and get into that top couple in the Heisman, what chance do you give Chase Young? Because I don't know that I've ever seen a more dominant defensive player, certainly defensive lineman, than Sue was his last year at Nebraska.
Yeah, if Sue couldn't do it, it wasn't going to happen. And, I think Chase Young is a guy, I think a lot of times Heisman voters are going to put a guy like him on there just to feel good about it.
Sure.
Like we honored him, and by God, he's going to get to the good of New York, and he'll get to be on TV and he'll get the votes, but they're never gonna do it. And if they weren't gonna do it with Sue, they weren't gonna do it. And I guess you could say, well, what if they beat Texas? Maybe that would. They never know.
Sure.
Some of those years, there were guys that won the Heisman. You go, well, I guess somebody had to win it, but I don't know. It's the defensive guy who won it and I voted for was Charles Woodson, but he was kind of a football player. He won it because he returned the punt against Ohio State.
Right. Yeah.
A touchdown. So he was sort of a Tim Brown, sort of Deion Sanders type of guy who did all this stuff. But, but in terms of a lineman, It's hard to do. That's why we have the Outland Trophy.
Right.
We're happy to give it out again this year in Omaha.
It seems like, not to harp on the Heisman too much here, but it seems like the Heisman Trophy used to be, at least publicly, a lot bigger deal, and that interest has kind of dropped off in recent years. Is that something you've noticed, and do you have a theory on why?
I don't have a theory. I think it's absolutely true. It's not as big as it was. Maybe just awards in general, or maybe there's so many awards now.
Sure, it's kind of watered it down a little bit.
A little bit. I think the Heisman is still number one. It's still the granddaddy of all the awards. It's still the coolest. Maybe after they took it out of the Downtown Athletic Club, maybe when that closed, I don't know. I don't know. It's an interesting. That's a great question. I don't know if we don't hype the old traditions like we used to, or we just. I don't know. I don't think you can't blame millennials or the phones on this one. I don't think, but
we'll try though, won't we?
I'm sure we will. We always do. But no, I think that's a good point. I don't have a theory.
We're talking to Tom Chattel, the Omaha World Herald. So obviously the big event in the state over the past week was the Nebraska-Creighton game. It maybe had a larger margin than some people were expecting, but these largely are programs in two very different spots in their development. What was your just big takeaway from the game and where each of the two programs are heading at this point?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, I wouldn't have expected 40-7 or whatever it was, but I've seen that before with the Nebraska team that was better than the one they've had. So what year was that? Was it? I think it was Miles
I think it was McDermott's senior year. They were up 38-8 against a team that, Nebraska went to the tournament that year.
Yeah, so who knows? But I don't think that'll happen this year. But I wasn't surprised at all. Creighton had a lot of purpose. They always do for that game. And they had the team. They didn't have to have the depth, but the one way, Nebraska players didn't know anything about that series or the team or the building or the crowd. They have to hit shots and just keep hitting shots to begin the game. And they didn't do that. They couldn't even drive to the basket to get fouls on them. Everything Creighton wanted to do early happened. They had to do that. I think if they let Nebraska hang around, you saw what happened in the second half. They started playing a little better. When Creighton shoots well, they've got a chance to win in about any game. That's on their schedule. And that's how that's the program Mac is built. They have to shoot well. They aren't going to out-rebound you necessarily. They might have a little bit of defense. And they're gonna knock off somebody good every year. Somebody really good. That's what they do. They shoot well. But I was surprised by it. I just wish, and people from Creighton don't like to get tired of me saying this, but I wish they would bring that passion and focus for Nebraska to the NCAA tournament and some of the other games. I wish that they would. And it's been hard to go win a Big East because Nova's been Nova. The next year, here comes UConn. But I'd like to, and I think that they've done well in the Big East. But I wish they would bring some of that focus a little bit later in the year. The Rhode Island and the K-State games, I still can't get over those. I thought those were missed opportunities, especially the one in Charlotte. After what happened to Virginia. So, in any case, I'm off the rails here. I didn't mean to go that way.
But, no, you're good.
But in any case, Nebraska's just starting. What would be, I think it'd be great for the series, I want them both to win, is if Nebraska can get to where Creighton is and return the favor more often. Under Doc, they actually traded every year. It was win-lose for about 3 years there, so or even longer. But it's better for everybody if it's competitive. And now we have these two coaches who play this incredible style. It's like, Nebraska used to be the land that the basketball forgot. And now, all of a sudden, we're kind of on the cutting edge. They just got to get some players down there. So... And then, like Mitch Ballack told me, we need to keep recruiting, and they're going to get better, and it's going to be fun. So, I look forward to that. And if we can get both of them up there, and then maybe where they're both in the tournament, and they're both trying to go deep, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think that's what basketball fans in the state should definitely be rooting for. Tom, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'll see you.
That was Tom Chattel from the Omaha World Herald. George, we have a thing we have to get to?
Yeah, we totally do. It is 1:30, which means I am bringing back the Gary Sharp Show ticket drop. Every day at 1:30, we're giving out tickets to something. We're giving out gift cards to something. We're giving you a chance to win. So I'm making it easy today. The zone deal this week is for Massage Heights. On Friday, they've got a, I believe it is 50% off. You can get $120 to Massage Heights for $60. But I've got a $60 gift card to Massage Heights right here in my hands. And I've debated on how I wanted to do this, Ravi.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to keep it super simple today.
Let's do it.
Caller number four, if you're the fourth person on my line, I got $60 to Massage Heights, which is our zone deal, which goes on sale on Friday. Oh, I was about to give out the number, and I didn't even know what it was. 951-1620. Looks like I already got some callers coming in. $60 to Massage Heights. Get in while you can.
All right. That is the ticket drop on the Gary Sharp Show. We're going to take a break here on the other side. We will get to George's NBA Minute here on 1620 The Zone.